Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In 2002, we met Lilo and Stitch in the Disney movie named for both characters. Lilo, the 6-year-old Hawaiian orphan who adopts Stitch, the little blue alien posing as a dog.
This is my family. It's little and broken, but still good. Yeah, still good.
The film follows Lilo as she's raised by her older sister, Nani, after their parents' death. Stitch, an extraterrestrial creature genetically engineered to cause chaos, is being chased by his creators while causing chaos across Hawaii. The soundtrack included 5 Elvis songs, and the behind-the-scenes work made it an animated classic, Disney's underrated gem. Bilga Abiri, film critic at Vulture, spoke with people involved in the creation to create a written oral history, which took 1.5 years to compile. Bilga, what drew you to this film?
That's a very good question. You know, I wasn't a kid when I saw Lilo and Stitch. The film came out when I was 29 years old. So I called the directors of the film, Christopher Sanders and Dean DeBlois, and just sort of talked to them about it. And that was when I realized there was a really fascinating story here, which Lilo and Stitch, in the annals of Disney, it was unique in that it really started as one person's vision and kind of continued that way. There was very little executive meddling. It was made for a relatively low budget away from Disney's headquarters in Burbank. It was made at their Florida studio. And as a result, it was allowed to be this odd, charming, weird little movie, and it could really maintain its soul in that way.
Well, and the look of it was different. You know, the animation, they used watercolor backgrounds, we understand, something Disney hadn't done since the 40s, you know, when Dumbo came out. Talk about how that affected this film.
Well, the animation style in Lilo and Stitch is distinctive in a number of ways. First of all, the drawings were all based on Chris Sanders' original drawings and his own style of drawing, which the characters looked more like real people. And then to complement that style, that rounded style of character design, the art director, Rick Sluder, had this idea of using watercolor backgrounds. And it was an art form that had kind of been forgotten. You know, the people who used to do watercolor backgrounds, obviously, you know, many years ago, most of them weren't even alive anymore. And so there was a lot of knowledge that had been kind of lost, and it became very difficult, and they had to spend months and months and months relearning how to paint, basically, to create these watercolor backgrounds.
Well, it gives us that dreamy, ethereal look. And, you know, Hawaii is the subject, and it's a character in this story. To talk about, you know, there was the hula and certain language, how Hawaii was incorporated.
You know, Hawaii wound up being incorporated initially almost randomly. Chris Sanders had the idea of Hawaii, he says, because he had just been to Hawaii and he had a map of Hawaii on his wall. One of the remarkable things about the film is that they realized we need to learn more about this culture and this setting, and we need to bring in people who know more about it, who are from that world, to help us make this more authentic and more true to that world.
Well, and one of the things they incorporate is this ohana, this idea of family. Let's listen.
Ohana means family. Family means nobody
gets left behind
or forgotten.
I mean, for kids, young people, hearing that, it was quite something, I would say.
Well, you know, I tear up just now hearing that line of dialogue from the film. I mean, it's such a beautiful idea. Mm. And it's not like the idea of family wasn't in other Disney movies. It's in almost all of them. But to hear it articulated in that way, and this notion of family being something beyond simply just who you're directly related to, but something that encompasses a community and something that is inclusive, the idea that someone can become a part of your family. And in Stitch's case in the film, someone who is left behind, someone who doesn't really know how the world works and is a bit lost, which is, when you're a kid, that's kind of how you feel. You know, Lilo and Stitch is about Lilo, who's a child, but in some ways, Stitch is also a child. And I think kids can relate to either of those characters.
Well, but part of the legacy of this story is that it was produced in Disney's Florida studio on a budget less than 1/3 of the cost of The Lion King's, but that studio was shut down.
It was, and it's actually quite a sad story. You know, the Florida studio had originally been created as almost a kind of a smaller studio to create sort of cheap shorts and sequels and things like that. But then Lilo and Stitch was really a film that was centered almost entirely at the Florida studio. And they worked really hard to try and create a unique kind of Disney movie. And they did. They succeeded. And Lilo and Stitch was a hit, and it's become an even bigger hit over the years. A couple of years later, the studio was shut down because the company had just grown too large too quickly. And a lot of the people who worked on Lilo and Stitch were let go. And of course, this also coincided with really what was the end of hand-drawn animation, because, you know, you had Pixar movies, you had 3D animation coming in, and that format was so successful that Disney eventually moved out entirely from making hand-drawn films. And of course, Florida was where all the hand-drawn animated films were being done at the time.
Yeah. Well, we honor their work then as well. Vulture film critic Bilge Ibiri, thank you so much.
Thank you.